views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to rid yourself of all that is weighing you down and holding you back from living the life you envision. Coming Clean, The Art of Transparency with Catherine Moss is a hit show that brings a real and dynamic message to uncovering and believing in the true amazing being you already are. For the next hour, Catherine will help you become truthful, authentic, and mindful of living on purpose one day at a time. Now here's your host, Catherine Moss.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of Coming Clean Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Arti Moss. So stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience the art of transparency. So what does transparency mean? Well, to me, transparency is being real and courageous in your own life. It's stepping out from whatever you're hiding behind and letting yourself be seen for all that you are, and not how you want people to see you. So a few years ago, after getting sober, I made a promise to myself that I would no longer hide, lie, or pretend I was something I wasn't. Not to others, and most importantly, not to myself. So as many of you will already know, this is not something that's so easy to do, but it's worth it. So each week on Coming Clean, I invite a guest on the show to share their unique truth and their authentic message in Coming Clean. I'm excited about manifesting true positive change in our lives and freeing ourselves from all that is weighing us down and no longer serving us. I invite you to start to live on purpose, one day at a time. So today I am pleased to welcome Veronica Valley here on the show. Veronica has worked as a therapist specializing in addiction for over 10 years. Her experience includes working with young people in the criminal justice system, primary care adult treatment, outreach services, and in private practice. Veronica has also worked in local government in the UK, delivering the local drug and alcohol strategy. Welcome to the show, Veronica.
Hi, Catherine. Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Before we dive in, so you have worked for over 10 years as an addiction therapist. So you definitely know what it takes to recover from addiction. But I thought we could talk about your own personal story first. So tell us, how did you get to becoming a therapist helping others recover from addiction?
Well, I think like a lot of people in my industry, I'm recovered alcoholic and drug addict, recovered from just about everything. And I'll try and condense my story down for you. Mm-hmm. I was born just knowing something was wrong with me. I just knew there was just something wrong with me inside. And when I became a teenager in the UK around 14, 15, I discovered alcohol. And it was the first thing that just made me feel comfortable in my own skin. And from there, drugs and just really, really external living. You know, everything was about knowing there was something wrong with me and looking for external ways to fix that, you know, moving, relationships, money, sex, food, drugs, alcohol, all that kind of stuff. And was, you know, suicidal. I had really bad panic attacks, just kind of surviving life rather than thriving. And at about 27, I got clean and sober, and I'd hit a rock bottom. I really just didn't know how to carry on anymore, just going from relationship to dysfunctional relationship to, you know, just, and never really thinking I had an alcohol problem, because I always drank with people who drank the same way I did. And I was a binge drinker. I didn't drink every day. And I got sober, and it was really a process of waking up and realizing, and, you know, what my problem was, and then being able to get the help that I needed. And I think that's really key, is understanding what your problem is first before getting help. Because I did look for help for a long time, but I was trying to get help for anxiety and depression and panic attacks. And really my problem, first of all, was alcoholism. And I had to get, you know, sober and clear my mind before I could tackle anything else. And And then I realized it was an inside job, that everything that I was looking for was really inside of me, and that I had to work from the inside out to really manifest the life that I wanted, which I have now. And, you know, I never want to give the impression my life is perfect. It's always a work in progress. But from where I was standing, you know, 16 years ago, my life is extraordinary to me, just extraordinary. And so I got sober and became interested in, really just became interested in people's internal process and what makes us behave the way we do. And, you know, and really, I really understood that the only thing that really matters in life is how you feel. And if you can't conquer that and have power over how you feel, then nothing else, it doesn't matter how much money you have or cars or children or whatever, if you don't feel happy and satisfied and content within yourself, then nothing else matters. And I got really fascinated with that and trained to become a therapist and worked in various many, you know, areas doing that. And when I started having children a few years ago, I started writing and blogging and writing books about really, you know, everything that I'm interested in, relating to alcoholism and addiction, and particularly relationships, because I see so many people struggle with that. And yeah, it's just been fascinating.
Well, congratulations on coming so far, and then
thank you,
and continuing to help others. And I really love what you say about it being an inside job, because, you know, like you said in your book, it's the problem was in, you know, the problem is internal, and so is the solution, right?
Yes, and I think that's the first big revelation, isn't it? Is I think we grow up in a culture that tries very, very hard to tell us that the solution that we're looking for, and we're all looking for the same thing, we're all looking to be happy, is outside of us. And, mm-hmm. you know, if it's not buying it, it's, you know, this sort of big, you know, the romantic kind of relationship is being, you know, the solution and the prize in life and all that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, gosh, you know, how can you get to be a fully grown adult and nobody tell you that actually the work is internal? You mm-hmm. know, it's about, you know, really managing your emotions in a healthy way, learning to process your feelings in a healthy way, learning to learn who you are and understand yourself. And then as a consequence of that, the things that you were looking for all the time just seem to then come along.
Exactly. Another thing that you spoke about in your book that I think that you hit, like when I was reading, I like, this is exactly true. Like that you hit the nail on the head with it being a disease of the spirit, right? It's a yes. spiritual illness, and not even with those who are in addiction, but in the world.
Yeah, I really feel that it's quite a universal problem for many of us, certainly in the Western world, is it's not, first of all, not really understanding that we are spiritual beings. And you know, when you can talk about that sometimes and people just switch off because they're like, oh, it's God and church and nuns and things that don't have anything to do with me. And when I talk about spirit, Catherine, I'm talking about, you know, like, you know, if you, even though you're not in front of me, but let's pretend you are, let's drop down in front of me right this second. I could still touch your body and you, that would still look like Catherine, but the part that makes you, you know, your humor and your dreams and your desires and your hopes and your fears and your secrets and your, that bit that makes you, that your friends and people who know you very well know is the essence of Catherine, will be gone. Somewhere, who knows where? Well, let's not get into that debate. But that part of you that I just described is your spirit, and really, for you know, the healthy, successful life that we're all looking for, we have to be good to that. That's all. And when I kind of realized that, I just thought, oh my God, you know, like drinking, doing cocaine, sleeping around, buying things I don't need, being shallow and insincere, none of those things are good to me. There's just, my spirit doesn't like that stuff at all. It's screaming out in pain, in fact, which is mm-hmm. why I'm, you know, using an anesthetic. And, you know, as soon as I learned, well, okay, now I have to start like listening and kind of trying to understand what that part of me needs, things began to get better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's almost like you're not living your true self. You're not living the life you know of truth, and because that's so unbearable, we find other ways to deflect and put our attention elsewhere if it's consuming in any different way. You know, like moving around the geographical, what have you.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. And it sounds in its essence so simple, doesn't it, really? I mean, what I discovered is that I have to live my truth. I have to live my truth. And that just sounds really simple, but it's actually much harder, you know. And I think I came to the realization there was two paths in life to take, and one was to not live my truth, which was to ignore all of those messages inside of me, or the other path was to live my truth. And you know what? Both are hard, but I had to make my choice which one it was going to be, because if they're both hard, well, I might as well do the one that's going to ultimately bring me some happiness. And by, you know, when I say when it's hard, you know, well, I'm going to live my truth, then all of a sudden, you know, what I believe or what I want to do or what I feel then is inevitably going to come in conflict with somebody, and then I have to deal with that. And, you know, oh, well, I'm a people pleaser, you know, I want to go back to like just doing what you want to do, not what I want to do, you know. And that's the bit that I'm talking about. It's hard. And that is really, I learned, it's a skill to learn, you know, it's a skill to learn to stand in my truth, no matter what other people think about that. No, you know, it's, and it takes practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And definitely. And also when you, I think it's a kind of, an idea that you have that when you get sober and you get clean, that everything's going to fall into place, right? Your life is going to be automatically perfect. Well, then that's just the point where everything, you can start, you know, cleaning things up and really starting to live your truth. That's like when everything starts.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I know. That's when the hard work starts.
Exactly. Yeah. So, in your book, Why You Drink and How to Stop, which is a wonderful book. You devoted two whole chapters to relationships. So it seems we've all had our fair share of, you know, bad relationships, regardless if we have a passive addiction or not, right? So this is a really broad question, but why are relationships so hard? Like, especially in recovery.
Well, you know, yeah, show me somebody who's not struggled, I mean, with romantic relationships. I mean, everybody, right? Absolutely everybody. And I put two chapters in my book about that, which is primarily about alcoholism, because I've just seen so many people struggle, including myself. I mean, my story is you know, my relationship history for a long time was completely dysfunctional. And I think they're so hard for people in recovery because, okay, so here's the thing about relationships. What many of us are looking for, and again, we in the context of this kind of romantic ideal that we're sold all around us in movies, in books, in films, in songs, it's, you know, that's what we're sold, you know, and it's usually boy meets girl and they go in the sunset, everything's fixed and fine, and it's the ultimate happiness and it's the ultimate achievement. So we all have that kind of belief system, which is faulty. So we're all trying to achieve it, and we all usually fail spectacularly because it's really unachievable. What many of us are actually looking for is, we're not actually looking for love, we're actually looking to be safe. So you get someone who's you know, got an addiction issue, and they're clean and sober, it's very, very frightening. You know, it's very frightening living without your anesthetic. And then the first thing you're looking for is actually to be safe. And a romantic relationship just tricks us. I think it cons us into thinking that that's what's going to, you know, that's what it's going to give us. It's going to give us safety. There's a great expression, because this sums me up totally, is I never had relationships when I was drinking. I took hostages. I just, you know, grabbed onto the nearest guy and, like, you basically, you know, who had a pulse, and I just, because I thought I was going to be safe, and I thought they were going to love me, and I thought I was going to be happy. And I kind of continued doing that in early recovery as well, because I just had no idea how to have a functional relationship. I didn't love myself. You know, I had all sorts of codependency issues going on. I had issues from my past that I never dealt with, and all of that stuff, all that baggage needs to be dealt with in order for us to go forward and have the kind of relationships that we want to have. So I think that they're much harder. So to answer your question, I think that it's much harder for people in recovery because the devastation of a relationship ending or not working out, it is devastating. For me personally, I used to go into a black hole. I mean, I was almost suicidal. It was that mm-hmm. bad. And that can lead to our anesthetic, and our anesthetic can lead to, you know, death and horror and enormous consequences. So, and I've sadly seen that so many times with people in recovery.
So we literally cannot deal with the pain of like the thought of a relationship ending.
Exactly, because, and the reason that we have this pain is because of the belief that we think the relationship is going to make us safe. Mm-hmm. So when we don't have the relationship, our fear is, how am I going to be safe? How am I going to be okay? And that's really terrifying for anybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you're listening to Coming Clean with myself, Catherine Artimas. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Veronica Valley. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you want to achieve your goals? Do you want to strengthen relationships with others? Do you want to improve your financial status? Colette Marie Steffen is partnering with Mark Kettenbach to bring you an energetic upgrade online experience launching in April. Unfold and develop your full potential. Visit energeticupgrade.com today for more information. That's energeticupgrade.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Get ready to rid yourself of all that is weighing you down and holding you back. Coming Clean, The Art of Transparency with Catherine Moss, is a hit show that brings a real and dynamic message to uncovering and believing in the true amazing being you already are. Tune in and let Catherine help you become truthful, authentic, and mindful of living on purpose one day at a time. Live each Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Shine On Radio. Find Your Shine with Kelly is the show that celebrates what makes you, you. Join co-hosts Kelly Wadler and Dr. Pat Basile as they break down how to brilliantly fuel and move your body and love what makes you shine. Kelly is a professional arts and wellness coach dedicated to helping brilliant women find their confidence, energy, self-love, and shine. Tune in to Shine On Radio with Kelly and find your shine on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Song of the Heart, Walking the Path of Light, from author and healer Francine Vail, is available now. Through Francine's life story, we learn how imperative it is to love one another. Once this simple truth is learned, peace on earth will prevail. Song of the Heart is a life lived and a story told for this purpose. To learn more about Francine and her amazing gifts, or to order your copy of the book today, visit angelsandlightbeings.com.
The doctor is in. Tune in to the hit show, The Psychic Love Doctor, with host Deborah Lee. Deborah's life-affirming, highly perceptive reading method has taught Deborah how to zero in on specific problems with relationships, career pursuits, and current roadblocks to success and happiness. Join Deborah Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific, and for a special broadcast the second Thursday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Sound a little
We're back on Coming Clean with me, Catherine Artsy-Moss. My guest today is Veronica Valley, an addiction therapist and author of the books Why You Drink and How to Stop and Get Sober, Get Free. Veronica's talking with us about relationships in recovery. Before we continue, I wanted to make sure that everyone knows how to contact you, Veronica. So can you let everyone know where they can find you on the World Wide Web?
Sure. I have a blog. It's just veronicavalley.com, V-A-L-L-I. It's called Recovery Rocks. It's kind of a name that just kind of developed. And I'm on Facebook as well. I have a Recovery Rocks Facebook page and my personal page. And on Twitter, Veronica Valley is my Twitter handle. I think that's kind of all the social media I really do at the moment.
Yeah, and I just have to say, I love your blog, and I always get the Recovery Rocks because you interview one person. Is it a week, or do you do it on a weekly basis?
I kind of try to do it whenever they come in, Catherine, and I must get you.
I would be honored. I would be honored.
Yeah, I will send you an interview.
Great. Yeah, so it's really, I mean, I get them in my inbox, and they're just like the so like intriguing, you know, just seeing someone else's personal raw story sharing and explaining why recovery rocks. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, just really quickly, I wanted to do that because I really was annoyed that there's so many rock bottom stories in the media, like kind of Charlie Sheen stories, that I wanted to tell the stories of, and people do get sober and stay sober and have families and achieve their dreams and life, you know, life is beautiful and kind of, show that side of recovery.
Yeah. And then, yeah, instead of just kind of focusing on your rock bottom and
yes.
everything.
There's what exactly. happens after the rock bottom? What happens to all these, you know, because people do get clean and sober. That's the thing. People do, lots mm-hmm. of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's super inspiring. I encourage anyone to check it out.
Thanks.
Also, you're giving away 3 free copies of your book, Why You Drink and How to Stop. So that's great. Thank you. The first 3 listeners to message their name. And so on the transformationtalkradio.com page, if you go on, you'll see to the right a box where you can enter some information. You can give us your name. It's an email and telephone number. And the first 3 to send a message will win a free copy. And you said that you will offer either a downloadable version or a hardcover version?
That's right. I can send them a hard copy, so I need to get an address if that's the case. Or I can send them a digital copy for a Kindle or for an iPad or whatever digital device they have.
That's great. That's awesome. So yeah, send away, be the first one to get your free copy. And if anyone has a question for Veronica, please feel free to send it in. We'd love to hear good questions.
Yes.
Be great. So again, in your book, Why You Drink and How to Stop, you spoke about emotional unmanageability, which I think is a huge topic. This really hit home for me when I was reading it. So I'm a recovering alcoholic myself because for years, like I got sober and then believed that I had kind of like defeated something. I'm like, yep, all done there. Everything's fine. However, we can be sober or we can be dry and still completely like living alcoholically, right? Because your emotions are completely unmanageable. Like you have no control over yourself. Yeah. So even though you're, you know, not drinking, you're kind of still a mess. So maybe you can talk a little bit about emotional unmanageability and how it affects relationships.
Yes. And that notion really comes from the 12 steps. There's in the steps, it talks about emotional, it talks about unmanageability. And the way that that's often interpreted is external unmanageability. Bankruptcy, falling over when drunk and hurting yourself, driving your car drunk, having arguments, you know, trashing your house, all of that kind of stuff. And for many people kind of beginning to think that they might have an alcohol problem, a lot of people actually don't relate to that. And I was one of them. I'd never been fired. I'd never been caught drink driving. I'd never been arrested. I'd never been divorced. I'd probably fallen over a couple of times drunk, but I'd never had those really kind of crazy external consequences. So I didn't really relate to any of that stuff when people spoke about it. However, when I began to understand what emotional unmanageability was, I related hugely. And really, to define it, the best kind of way I can explain it is emotional unmanageability is when you have no control over how you are going to feel or react at any particular time. And that just described me to a T. Like, I had no autonomy over my feelings. Like, they just completely ruled me. So I was always reacting to them. You know, like, I'd feel anxious or afraid or just always on an emotional roller coaster. So I was always kind of trying to fix that with external fixes. And when you have no control over how you feel, your feelings will lead you, that you will become a slave to them. And again, this internal fix, this inside job that we're talking about is learning to have mastery and be in charge of your emotional life. And that was an absolute alien concept for me, because nobody had ever demonstrated or shown me how to appropriately deal with my feelings. And I had to learn that as an adult. And it's a process. And, you know, as I did, you know, that's when real transformation began to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like coming from a place of addiction. I can definitely relate to that. Managing or, you know, trying to manage your feelings, or it's almost like you don't even know. It's like asking a fish, how's the water? What water? You know, like, what do you mean I'm not managing my feelings? It's just the way I am. You know, I'm out of control, crazy, you know? Yeah, that is, I mean, I agree. Like, you can tell yourself that, you know, I wasn't driving my car, you know, driving drunk and doing all these other things. But if the way that you're living is the same, just, you know, just add alcohol and it was the same, it's, you know, you need to do a little bit of work on the emotional.
Yeah. Thing. I mean, what it comes down to, Catherine, is we behave how we feel. So behavior will always tell you how somebody's feeling. And to change behavior, you have to change how you feel first. And that means you have to gain some autonomy and mastery over your feelings. And, you know, now I have appropriate feelings to the event. You know, so if something, you know, someone dies or something awful happens, I feel sad or disappointed, because that's appropriate to feel that way. In the past, I just feel sad and disappointed and just empty. I don't know. I don't know why. I felt like that all the time and had no idea why and had no idea how to change it. Mm. Apart from numbing it.
Exactly. Well, I'm Catherine Aretimas, and you're listening to Coming Clean Radio, The Art of Transparency. When we come back, Veronica will talk further about healthy relationships and recovery. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you ready for a radical shift in your way of being? Are you seeking a more deeply connected and fulfilling life? Awakened Living Radio is a show dedicated to helping you embrace a life filled with profound peace, connection, and happiness. TJ Woodward is passionate about helping you find your clarity, balance, and purpose. Join co-host TJ Woodward and Dr. Pat Basile on the first Monday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific Time for Awakened Living Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Get ready to rid yourself of all that is weighing you down and holding you back. Coming Clean, The Art of Transparency with Catherine Moss, is a hit show that brings a real and dynamic message to uncovering and believing in the true amazing being you already are. Tune in and let Catherine help you become truthful, authentic, and mindful of living on purpose one day at a time. Live each Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author, Dr. Friedemann Schaub, for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Almost everyone at some time in their lives ask themselves, what am I? Most of our questions are ego-generated and simply don't address the problem of our false self. It's time to relax your ego and embody your soul. Dr. Dan Cohen, neurologist, inventor, and author, has created tools to awaken, a new way to transform from who you thought you were into what you truly are. Visit toolstoawaken.com today.
What if we really didn't have to die to go to heaven? Are you curious about the afterlife or rebirth? The highly anticipated new book from author Dr. Susan Allison, You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven, is available now. Find out how to find guidance and healing in the spirit realms. Order the book today and put it on your must-read list for 2016. Visit drsusanallison.com to learn more.
We're back on Coming Clean Radio with myself, Catherine Aratimas. I have Veronica Valley here talking about recovery and relationships, a topic many of us know very personally, myself included. Before we begin, I'd just like to remind everyone, Veronica is giving away 3 free copies of her book, Why You Drink and How to Stop. And so the first 3 listeners to message their name and email address, telephone number, to the show will win a copy, either in Kindle form or a hardcover copy. So if you would like a hardcover, you can add in your address. All this information is completely confidential. So in the box on the website, all this information is completely personal. So let's continue the conversation on recovery and relationships. I'd like to speak about codependency. So can you first talk about what codependency is for those who might not be totally familiar with it and how it becomes an obstacle, you know, in healthy relationships?
Yes. There's really kind of 2 types of codependent. And much of this is always about balance, because we're all kind of codependent in many respects, because we all have to interact with each other. And it's like all things, it's really about getting everything back in balance. But the first type of codependent is the person who just spends an enormous amount of energy trying to arrange everybody around themselves to do what they want them to do. So they can do that in many ways. They can do it. They can be somebody who's very kind of charming and seductive and manipulative, or it can be somebody who's quite angry and forceful and bullying. And what they're doing is they believe that, first of all, they will be happy, i.e. safe, and also everybody else around them will be happy as well, if they would just do what they want them to do. So in terms of a dysfunctional alcoholic relationship, you get the alcoholic who's chaotic and drinking, and you get somebody who's trying to fix them. And the person who's trying to fix them is spending all of their energy trying to fix their drunk partner, under the faulty belief that once they do, everything will be great and they'll be happy. But what they're actually doing is expending all of that energy to avoid actually looking at themselves, and dealing with their own feelings and emotions. So in many ways, the codependent's almost addicted to the alcoholic person, because it provides them with a purpose, it provides them with meaning, it provides them with a mission, and it provides them with a massive distraction from how they feel. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
The second type, and I was very much this, is someone who almost has kind of has someone who really has no idea who they are, no sense of self, and just becomes what they believe other people want them to be. So I was very much like that in relationships. Like, I'll just, what do you want me to be? I can be slutty, I can be sexy, I can be demure, I can be like the best girlfriend you've ever had. Yes, I love rugby. Yes, I love football. Yes, I love, you know, whatever it is you love, all of a sudden I love that too. You know, it's like, I had no identity. I just, if you liked hamburgers, I liked hamburgers. If you like green, I like green. Mm-hmm. And I just had, you know, completely unanchored from myself, and just constant feeling of failure, of not being good enough, because you can, you know, you're always trying to anticipate, what does this person want me to be? And guessing and anxious and never, I mean, you just can't. I mean, it's impossible. So you always just feel like this just, you know, terrible sense of failure and not being good enough, because you just can't be what other people will want you to be. And again, the belief system there is that if I am the person you want me to be, then you'll love me and I will be safe. And those two things just lead to complete disaster. And you know, really, recovery from that is starting on the process of being who you really are. You know, so I'm, you know, you may like hamburgers and the color green, and I may like chicken and the color blue. And that's fine. And being really comfortable and happy in that. And that was, you know, I remember the first time those kind of things started happening to me. It's kind of like, I don't want to do that today. No, I'm good. I'm going to do something else. Just like saying no to people was just a massive revelation, because I always said yes and never meant it, but and would end up in all mm-hmm. sorts of pickles because I never knew how to say no. I was scared of you not liking me and nor not approving of me if I let you down, if I did say no. So all of, you know, that's kind of the recovery from that is really beginning to stand in your truth and owning what you like and owning what you love and owning who you want to be and owning what you want to do and sitting with the uncomfortable feelings that will come when you start practicing that behavior. If for someone who's a chronic people pleaser, saying no to someone is very, very scary at first. I would just want people to know it does get easier.
And it seems that a lot of you know, these behaviors are based on fear of safety and approval, right? And how much of that, I wonder, comes from our families and our early relationships. So how does the early family life and childhood shape our relationship behavior?
Hugely. I mean, it's just massive. And I think the more we grow into adulthood and perhaps become parents ourselves, we can see that even clearer. And I think it's really important. It's very easy to at some point kind of blame our parents for sort of the mistakes they made and what they did and, you know, how that impacted us and how we turned out. And, you know, in some respects that can be true in the people that have had very, very, very abusive parents. But for most of us, I think we just had parents who had their own stuff, who were just doing the best they could. I also think that if we are going to lay some blame somewhere, it's more in our culture rather than in our parents in particular. Well, you have a culture that is absolutely committed to, you know, as I said at the beginning, trying to convince us that everything we want, the path to happiness and safety is external. And we also have a culture that doesn't value attachment. And actually, it really just goes back to, you know, being infants and being children and being teenagers and how massively vital a really strong attachment is between a parent and their primary caregiver. And that's the sense, that's the feeling of safety that all children need. Once you have that, it's an anchor. Once you have that anchor that I am loved for who I am, I'm safe, you're then sort of free to grow and be who you are. But many of us get that interfered with. And again, it's much more to do with our culture that, you know, demands that two parents work with, and there's, you know, inadequate childcare, there's, you know, inadequate provision for parents to bond with their children. You know, we're all expected to work 80 hours a week and super achieve in our jobs, and making money is more important actually than spending time with our children. You know, children can be is the best investment that we can ever make. Mm-hmm. So I think that gets disrupted in a lot of us, and as we become young adults, the desire to attach, to connect, to feel safe, it's like a hook. and it's constantly out there. And if we don't hook to what our parents or our primary caregivers or our family of origin, which is what's really designed to give us that feeling of safety and connection, then we'll hook onto something that's dysfunctional. Quite often, first of all, it's our peer group. And that's not where we're going to get unconditional love and feelings of safety, because peer groups can't give us that. And then from our peer group, it's in a romantic relationship, which is what replaces, the family of origin eventually. So if that all makes sense, to bring that kind of in a nutshell, it's really what many of us, when we start dysfunctional relationships, is we're actually not looking for love. We're looking to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the first question I kind of work with clients is, do you feel safe? And without this relationship,
is that kind of a question is again kind of a how's the water type thing. Do you feel safe? It's something that a lot of people probably don't think about.
Yes, exactly. A romantic relationship should be the cherry on your cake, not the cake. And I think that's the problem, is we think it's the cake, and if we don't have the cake, we have nothing.
And so do you believe that when in childhood, if you were lacking something, do you believe that, then you'll be going out your whole life looking for that in other relationships?
Absolutely.
If you are lacking, say, yes, safety, are you, yes, looking to feel safe? And then you go into relationships, you go into some type of addiction.
Yes, absolutely. And you can see that in, again, going back to extremely abusive parenting, where people were, emotionally, sexually, physically abused. Of course, it's obvious that child is not going to feel safe, because the people who were meant to make them feel safe didn't. And you can see those people in adulthood and how they respond to that extreme feeling of unsafety. In many respects, it's a spectrum. There's the sort of severest type of it, and to people who just didn't get enough connection and attachment from their parents. So yes, that goes into adulthood.
What about the role of the relationship that your parents had to each other? Is that important?
Of course it is. Yes, absolutely. Because they are the people that demonstrate and show us what love is and what anger is and what disappointment is. We learn from seeing that in our parents. So if our parents weren't happy, that's they're our teachers.
Yeah. But before we take another break, can you please give your contact info one more time for our listeners, how they can find you on the web?
Sure. Just put Veronica Valley in Google. My website is veronicavalley.com. You can find me on Facebook. I think it's Addictions Expert, or you can find me under Recovery Rocks or Veronica Valley. And on Twitter, it's Veronica Valley as well. V-A-L-L-I.
Perfect. So this is Coming Clean with Catherine Arati-Moss. We're going to take a quick break. And when we return, Veronica will share with us, again, relationships and recovery, and one of the most important relationships you can have. Stay tuned.
Awaken to your radiant, authentic self. For over 15 years, Soul Purpose Advocate Nancy Monson has been focused on leading change in the lives of those looking to live their true purpose. She is devoted to supporting people in living a soul-directed life every day. Let Nancy help you overcome fear, worry, and doubt. Visit everydayspirituality.com to learn how Nancy can be your Soul Purpose Advocate.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Get ready to rid yourself of all that is weighing you down and holding you back. Coming Clean, The Art of Transparency with Catherine Moss, is a hit show that brings a real and dynamic message to uncovering and believing in the true amazing being you already are. Tune in and let Catherine help you become truthful, authentic, and mindful of living on purpose one day at a time. Live each Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Pat. Many of you have heard me talk about the Lyme disease epidemic going on right now in the world. I want to tell you about my friends at Results RNA. They have now created an entire Lyme support system for immune system support, detoxification, rejuvenation, and neurological healing. Please visit ResultsRNA.com to learn more. And for first-time orders, you'll receive a special 10% discount. All you have to do is type in Dr. Pat at checkout.
There are so many resources out there for meditation. But did you know that Atana's Heart Earth Healing Meditation is available for you for free? Yes, that's right. You can receive this free healing meditation today from Atana Badili. All you need to do is visit his website, AtanaMethod.com. That's AtanaMethod.com. And sign up. You will receive your free meditation instantly. That's AtanaMethod.com.
And we're back on Coming Clean Radio, The Art of Transparency. My name is Catherine Aritimas. I have Veronica Valley here talking about relationships in recovery. So we have a question from a listener from Devora in Switzerland. She says, so often we desire to make changes, have good intentions, think we are motivated, but cannot actually manage to make the changes that we need to make. How does this change work become real?
Well, that's a really good question. I think probably a lot of people are asking that. I remember many times in my life looking at people who kind of, you know, talked about living in the solution, and I'd look at them and think, I'm so far away from where you are. How do I get there? So I would answer that by saying, start very, very simply. I think one of the mistakes that we can make is kind of just to try and actually change too much too quickly, and we set ourselves up for failure. So it's really, really small little steps, and just see where they take you. Eat a bit more fruit, do a little bit more exercise by going for a walk, you know, pick up the phone and just speak to a friend today. Speak kindly about yourself. Start there and go from there. I actually think making the change that we need to, that we want to make in our life, whatever it is, actually it's the simple steps that are the most effective ones. And I'd also say there's no such thing as failure, only feedback. Is if you don't feel that you've made the change that you wanted to make in whatever area it is, Devora, then I would look at that and analyze it. Because there's tons of things for you to learn in whatever that was. You know, what do you need to do differently? Was your balance okay? You know, were you working too hard? Were you, for me, it always goes back to whatever the question is, the answer can always be balance. How's your balance? Mm-hmm. I think it's actually, to be honest, I really feel it's in our messes and our mistakes that really the juice of life comes from. It's the messes and mistakes that I've made that I've managed to, when I look at them, that I can look at, and there's so much information and feedback for me to then actually make the changes I want to make. And sometimes I have to do that more than once.
Yes.
It's okay to fail. It's okay to mess up.
Amen. I love it. You know, and I think that it's really easy to be inspired, right? But sometimes how do we take those steps forward?
Yeah, and to put it in the context of relationships, I feel that that's like, you know, when you say, for instance, you start dating somebody, and obviously we were hopeful that's going to work out. For me, I realized that the first thing I did was I always ignored red flags, just ignored it, because I wanted this person to be how I wanted it to be, and I completely ignored the fact that they're perhaps potentially a serial killer or whatever. And then I'd be shocked when they, like, you know, did something that I didn't like or whatever. As I began to change and practice new behaviors, I looked at red flags, and I would get out of potentially dysfunctional relationships much, much, much earlier. Now, it was still painful because, you know, at the beginning I did want it to work out, and there was a lot maybe I liked about that person. But then stuff would happen. I'd see it and think, you know what, this is a bottom line for me. It's not acceptable for me to be treated like this anymore. I'm just not, I deserve better. And that for me was revolutionary.
Mm. So switching gears and getting back in your book, Why You Drink and How to Stop, you raise the question, you know, is your relationship based on fear or love? And how can listeners know which, you know, if they're thinking about their own relationships, how do they know if, you know, if the relationship is based on fear or love? What can we look out for?
Well, I'm going to talk very briefly about my very wonderful husband, who may even be listening. Who knows? on our first date, he said to me, name 5 relationships that you envy, as in 5 couples that you know, people that just when you think, yes, that's the kind of relationship I want to have. Now, what shocked me about that question was how hard it was. I could name you 20 couples right now, but couples who really had what I wanted, you know, like I'd look at that couple and think they just look happy and content and in love. And I think actually between the two of us, we have 5 couples. That's how hard it is. And I thought about it even more, and I thought so many relationships, because again, this was my story, were based on fear. I was frightened of being alone and not being good enough, and I was frightened of not being loved. So I made my relationship decisions based on those 2 fears, which is basically, you know, anybody who looked at me twice, I would grab onto. You know, I almost married someone I didn't love because they liked me, and I was so blown away by the fact that anyone would like me. And I was so frightened that I was always going to be alone that I just took what was offered. And I think that, you know, fundamentally asking yourself that question, you know, is this based, am I in this relationship because I'm scared of being alone, because I'm scared that I'm going to be abandoned and no one's ever going to love me? Am I scared that this is it, that it's never going to get, you know, be anything better than this? And I think that's probably not a place that you're going to achieve the love and happiness that you're looking for.
Mm. And the most important relationship that you can ever have is, of course, the one with yourself, right? So absolutely. How did you redevelop your relationship with yourself?
Absolutely right. And it's really, you know, I hate to say it, Catherine, it's the cliche. You've just got to learn to love yourself first before you can really love and receive the love that you want. And, you know, it starts again, it's right back to that wonderful question from Devorah. It's really little steps. You know, if you're coming out of a really abusive, dysfunctional relationship, or you're newly sober, or anything like that, take little steps, you know. By definition, addicts, alcoholics, we don't like ourselves. We loathe ourselves. And it's really beginning to, okay, I'm not asking you in 24 hours to become a spiritual guru who loves themselves. Just do something nice for yourself today. You know, do something positive, eat a little bit healthier, you know, take a little bit of exercise, you know, do something, you know, one thing that's on your to-do list, you know, that all that does is it begins to build a little bit of self-esteem. The most important thing, the most essential thing, is to find positive, healthy connections. I think it's really worthwhile doing a good, putting to one side the people who don't bring positivity into your life and spending time with people who do bring positivity and encouragement and support. You know, that is an enormous step in the right direction to loving yourself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree. The company you keep is it can influence you greatly.
Huge, huge. So small little steps, and all of those things build up. And, you know, it's like one day, you know, and I did a lot of therapy. I did tons of stuff, and it all built. It just continued. You know, some things were really effective. Some things were not quite so effective. The most important thing is I just kept going, and I just woke up one day and just realized I felt differently about myself. And from there, my whole life transformed.
Wow. That's beautiful. So, just to remind listeners, Veronica is giving away 3 free copies of her book, Why You Drink and How to Stop. Once again, going on transformationtalkradio.com and filling in the information with your name, we said telephone and email, and you will receive a free book, either in Kindle or hard copy version. I would like to thank my guest today, Veronica Valley, for sharing her knowledge and insight into relationships and recovery. It's such a, I mean, we could have probably talked all day. It's such a, you know, you have such a wealth of information. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in to the very first episode of Coming Clean. If you'd like to contact me, you can go to my website, www.comingcleanradio.com or www.withintheflow.com. All my info is on the contact page. So please join me every Tuesday at 12 Eastern, 11 Central, and 9 o'clock a.m. Pacific Time. So next week on Coming Clean, I will have Natasha Koo on the show to talk about saying yes to yourself. Have a great week, and I'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to Coming Clean, The Art of Transparency with Catherine Moss. Catherine can help you rid yourself of that which is weighing you down and holding you back from living the life you envision. Let's become truthful, authentic, and mindful of living on purpose one day at a time. Tune in each Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific on transformationtalkradio.com or visit the archives at withintheflow.com.